Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. While I was at the seminary, I really started to get into running. At first, I could barely run a mile in truth, but I had the desire to prove myself. I started reading articles on running and learned that there is much more to running than simply putting one foot in front of the other. The things you eat before, during, and after, the way you plant your heel and kick off with your toes, the movements you make with your ankles, knees, and hips, the things you focus your mind on. All of these things come together to work together to affect the performance of your body while running. And of course, I learned sometimes the hard way the importance of constant and vigilant training to get all of this coordinated and working together. Because if the parts of your body aren't working together in a coordinated effort, you will likely not do well. But once I figured out how to get these different parts of my body to talk, to communicate with one another and work together, I was able to work my way up all the way to running half marathons. Now, Paul, in our reading today, addresses us as brothers and sisters and also speaks of bearing the burdens of one another. These words bring with them the teaching that we are all in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we are God's family. We're connected with one another. We're each members of one body, keeping in step with the Spirit. So the question then, and this one we need to keep in mind in order to run a marathon, is how are we to relate to one another? How are we to communicate? How are we to interact and be with one another? How can the members of Christ's body live and move as God intended? Now, at the very end of chapter 5, Paul tells us that this does not call for sibling rivalry. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, Paul says. Don't be that way. If parts of the body fight one another, you'll fall over and hurt the body. Earlier in chapter 5, Paul was even more stern. He says, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So that's the don't, the negative. But this morning we have, in a sense, the do. If anyone is caught in any transgression, Paul says, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. If a member of body is out of sync, out of step, then it is up to the rest of the body for the good not only of that individual, but as of the body as the whole, to gently bring that member back into step. Otherwise, the whole body could become uncoordinated and greatly injured. Of course, we don't simply bring them into any step that we choose, but as Paul says in the last chapter, we walk in step with the Spirit. And why are we to do this? Why are we to care for our brothers and sisters in such a way? Because the fact of the matter is that your brothers and sisters have burdens that pull on them and weigh them down. The other in one another has burdens. There are heavy things in the lives of your fellow believers, and not least, as already mentioned, are transgressions. Paul says that transgressions can overtake you. It's almost a picture of being run down from behind, and they grab you and overtake you and pull you down to the ground. Now, sin, of course, is one of those burdens, but there are other burdens that can lead us into sin and make us out of step with the Spirit. There's fear. There's discouragement. There's loneliness. There's all kinds of burdens that the brothers and sisters carry. And to bring them back into step, Paul says that we are to carry them for one another, bear them, help one another with their burden. And in this way, Paul says, you fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, so we're Christians, and this makes sense. And we know what we're supposed to do, but a lot of times, we don't do it. So what is it that prevents us from bearing one another's burdens? Well, a lot of things could, but the next few verses, Paul says, for if anyone thinks he is something, even though he is nothing, he deceives himself. Paul enlightens our situation here. I won't care enough to help you if I am puffing myself up on account of your burden. If I'm looking at you and then looking at me and saying to myself, look at them, look how much better I am than they are, I must really be something. And I do not share the love of Christ. Especially if I see that you have been overtaken by a sin that doesn't happen to appeal to me, at least not today, then it's dangerously easy for me to think I really must be something. Now, Paul says that when we think in this way, we're simply deceiving ourselves. If we are tempted to do this, he gives the following advice for us. Look, Paul says, if you want to be comparing, then look at your own work. Look at your own life, and you line it up with the claim that God has on your life. You look at his commandments and his standard for you, and then you can think about trying to boast. If you play the comparison game, leave your brother and sister out of it. You pay attention to yourself. See, here's the deal. In the body of Christ, there is no better than. None of that in the body of Christ. Neither is there no worse than. There's only brothers and sisters. There's only members of the one body. There's only Christians with burdens. If someone has tripped and needs to be restored, then do it, but gently. And watch out for yourself. Forgive him, reach out to her, pray and weep together, but through all of that, don't you dare, not even for a single second, don't you dare think that you are something, that you are better, because you're not. In the body of Christ, there is no better than. And here's the reason why. The reason that Paul calls this mutual burden-bearing the law of Christ. There's no better than in the body of Christ because Christ himself did not act as if he were better than you. And of course, he was. And he is. And he will be the world without end. But that is not how Jesus did what he did. He came and acted as if he were nothing. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head. He did not come to be served, but to serve. He did not regard equality of God a thing to be grasped. And he redeemed us, in fact, we who were rightfully cursed by the law, by becoming a curse for us. This is his way, the way of Christ. This is his pattern, the pattern of Christ. This is his gift to us, the gift of Christ. And this is his law. And we are his, right? We are his. And when parts of the body don't work well together, it's very painful to watch. And it can really hurt people. The danger then is that it is always there in you and me. That you would look at me and I would look at them and somehow think to ourselves, man, compared to that person, I really am something. What happens when we do this is the law of Christ goes unfulfilled and the honor of Christ suffers. There is no better in the body of Christ, only members with burdens. Therefore, brothers and sisters, even if a person is overtaken in a trespass, and you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a gentle spirit, guard yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way, fulfill the law of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.